this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
I just want to pray for us, for me more. Lord, thank you for your goodness, your mercy, Lord. Thank you, God, that you are good in everything, Lord. Thank you that you are the God of hope, Lord. Father, we pray. I just want to ask you to direct my thoughts, that you will speak through me today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. My message is called, May the God of Peace Be With You. I was reading Romans 15 and I saw it said, may the God of endurance and encouragement, and then may the God of hope, and may the God of peace. And I just thought, sure, that is so much encouragement that God is giving in Romans 15. Be with us. In this world where we are, someone that is also in my youngest son in Ruben's class, the father passed away just a week ago. And, it's now a mother with two children, and you go like, oh, yes, it's sad when you hear of young people my age and younger that pass away, or people losing their jobs, or they lose their career. They go through tough things. People who are, when we reach out with the guys on the street, and people who are drug addicts and they can't break away from this thing, or if people who are in alcoholism and they can't break this thing. It's just, it destroys their life, their family lives. And where I minister, I see things that is sad. You hear of people who've been sexually abused by parents and brothers, and you go, why is all these things happen? You know, or many of us, we have these expectations in life of God will do things, and then we get this massive disappointment, and we're not, why is this happening? Why do we have to go through this? If you look at the world and you read newspapers and you see the crime stats and you look at just the corruption in our government and the anti-Christian sentiment, people are, it's not cool to be a Christian anymore. If there's an article in the news regarding a church decision, then all the comments that just comes to break down Christianity, just to make us feel that to be a Christian is not a good thing to do. So there's so much persecution in this world that we live in. We almost become overcome by evil in this world. If you just television or movies that you watch, the evil is so much, and you feel like, how the heck are we going to live? You know, when you hear about how people act in government, for example, and we just go, no ways, they can't be. So in this world, is the church still the answer to the problems of this world, the modern church? Do we have the answer to bring into this world? You know, if we look around us, do we believe that our God, the God that created the universe, can change this world around? Do we believe that he can bring Jacob Zuma to his knees, to completely surrender to the Lord, to get baptized, to get filled with the Holy Spirit, to pray, all the ministers, all the deputy ministers, all the members of parliament, all the mayors, everyone in our municipalities to come to Jesus, to pray, to see God's face for this country, the teachers of our schools, to everyone to come to the Lord. When we pray, do we have an expectation that God can actually turn this world around? When we pray, because one of my prayers, and I'm starting to really have great faith, but I've got a list of 5 countries that I pray for, but it's increased to 7, and I've taken on Sudan and Iraq and Iran and Syria and Saudi Arabia and Egypt, and there's another one that I've missed, but I'm praying for them to know Jesus to the full. And then I pray for the world, that this world, God is the God of the nations, that the world will know the goodness of God, that Jesus will come, because the whole earth will be filled with the glory and the knowledge of God. So when we pray and we come before God and we see all these things, do we believe that Satan rules this world, or do we believe that God rules everything? That God, it belongs to God. That God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I am. What expectation do we pray with? In Matthew 6:6, when we pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And I just coming to a place in my life where I understand there's a lifestyle of going into the closet to pray, where we seek God and we ask Him, and not on our way to work, but we really come and we separate ourselves and to come and pray and ask God the promises of God that He has given us. I believe for us in the season where we are, this is what God is calling the people to come. Because Jesus in Matthew 6, when they ask Him how should we pray, He said, pray like this. Jesus said, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Here on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come. How it is in heaven must come here on earth. What God's will is. And then what is God's will? What is God's will for our lives? What is it that He wants for us? You know, and so we many times when we pray and we seek, we always see the bad things that is happening. And last week, Friday, I went to a meeting, and then I invited just a few people that I could think of. It was at the Super Tube. My old friend, Carl Morris, we were very naughty together, and he got radically saved, and he started praying for me. But his brother was a pastor since 1989, and he has planted various churches in the Eastern Germany as well in those days. So he's been really used by God quite a lot. And he does leadership development with different churches. He's part of a group of people. And he came, God laid on his heart to come back to his hometown. The first church that he pastored was in this area. So he just started speaking to us about what God has been doing through his life. And he was, there's a city in United States. I'm not going to tell him, so don't tell him I told you, please. But it's Huntington is the city called, because he doesn't want any glory for it. He wants all the glory must come to God. But this city was number 900 of a list of medium-sized cities in America, of a list of 900. They were 900 cities. They were dead last on this in terms of prosperity of going forward. The reason was there's a coal industry that was closed down. And because of that, people would just start leaving, were starting to leave the city. So they drove him through the city, and he said it looked worse than a third world country. He said he could have been in Africa. That's how bad it was looking in Huntington at that stage. So they asked him, they must come and help. So the mayor asked him to come, and he was speaking to him. He got all the different pastors together. And the problem was every pastor was sort of fighting for his flock not to leave because the churches were going smaller and smaller. So they took all of them away. They started praying and asking, what is God's vision for this city? And they started praying together. They started seeking God. And they started hearing one another what God had spoken to them about the city. So they started speaking to different people. And they brought the plan forward that John Calvin had 500 years ago with Geneva. It was a 25, John Calvin's plan was a 400-year plan, but God did it in 25 years. So they thought, okay, let's trust God for 25 years. But in 4 years, God turned the city around. What happened was there was a very, very famous rich man I don't know whose name it is, otherwise I would have told you, and ask you not to tell Sean. But this man had a law. He sued. There was a law case. He had a lawsuit against the city. He owned 500 acres of property right in the middle of the city, and it caused the city to become bankrupt. They were going to be liquidated because they couldn't pay what he was asking from them. So they came together, they started praying, and what Sean said was they came together with their hearts, but then they trusted God for the God factor to come in, for God to come and change. And various things started happening, but the one that stood out for me, one of the judges that was part of this, he sentenced a young man for drug trafficking. He was a gangster leader. He sentenced him to jail, and then every week he went to go and visit this man in jail, and he started discipling him, and he led him to the Lord, and this man's life changed around. He came out of jail for good behavior, so he got him to live into his house, and then after a while, he decided to clean the town, the city, but he started cleaning where the drug addicts used to live, do their work, and where the prostitutes were doing their business. So because of that, people started coming to him, and he got awarded the contract to clean the city streets for the city. So that was one success story. All the guys that coming out of jail, he was helping to clean the city. So the city is being cleansed. In 4 years' time, the city got turned around completely. This man who had this law suit against them, he heard about the good stories that was happening. He sent his lawyers, and they went to go and tell him. So he flew to Huntington to go and speak to them, and he saw what was happening, and he said, "I'm withdrawing this law suit for against you." But not only that, he donated 500 acres of ground to them where they're now building this a new waterfront that will bring in people. So the churches are starting to really do well. People are coming into the city. Many people's lives are being changed because of just the vision that people had coming together to serve God. And he gave me he said the scripture, Psalm 24, verse 1, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all those who dwell in it, therein." This is God's. All of it belongs to God. So when we pray, we just state the fact that it belongs to God anyway. So what is the faith that we have when we come? Because it belongs to God. Why do we come with a hireling mentality when we come to God, when we are children of God? We belong to God. Everything belongs to God anyway. So when we come before God, what is God's dream for me? But what is God's dream for this school? What is God's dream for my business, for Somerset West? What is God's dream for the Strand and for Gordon's Bay? Do we believe that God can save the drug addicts, the guys on the streets, and turn their lives around where they completely just turn to God? What's his dream for South Africa, for Africa? What is his dream for all of these things? And how does it fit into where I want to be? And, you know, when Sean just said the key was to seek the kingdom of God first. We must seek God's kingdom first. But what is this kingdom? There's very many verses, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's like little children coming to him. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed that dies and then a tree comes. The kingdom, we must repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Then he said, we cannot pursue unity. We must preserve unity. When we seek the kingdom, because we many times as Christians talk about unity, but unity will be there when we seek the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God is not church. Church is part of the kingdom of God. There's not one church that got the answer. There are many churches together, collectively, becomes part of the kingdom of God. But it's not only church, it's where we work. It's where we go to school. It's where we live. All of this becomes together the kingdom of God. So as we change and we become believers and we start influencing and we start living the lifestyle of God, we are the kingdom of God. So as we go, welcome back, as we go to Europe, the kingdom of God is coming to Europe because we belong to Jesus and we are his children. So the kingdom of God is the place that we should seek. And Matthew 13 verse 33, It's not there, but it says, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leavened. So the kingdom of God is influence, where I make friends, and through my friendship, maybe he becomes a born-again believer and his life changes. And from that, he makes friends with someone else, and that person get influenced by that and his life get changed. And you know, the thing is, if each one of us, if I lead one person to Christ a year, and that person I lead to Christ lead another person to Christ, and that person leads another person to Christ a year, I think it's something like 32 years, the whole world will be converted to Christianity. But the influence is the way that I live, who I am, that we all have a responsibility to come to the fullness, to understand who I am, what God has called me to be, and not to take glory for myself. And this is what I so loved about what Sean said. He doesn't want anything on Facebook. He wants nothing in newspapers. He wants nothing on TBN. He stays away from that because God must get the glory. It is we remain hidden as we influence and we speak and we pray and we trust God. Because the first time we see a miracle, we want to go put it on Facebook and say, wow, God used me to do this and this miracle. But the glory is more on what I've done and not on what God is wanting to do. So there's this, and that this really impressed me. I thought, wow, what a man of God to not want to take the glory for himself. He doesn't even, because it will be easy. Oh no, we just put it on Facebook. We just punt it everywhere we can. He says, no, we don't want it. We want to trust God that he brings the right people together because it's God's plan. It's not our plan. We must just come into sync with what God is wanting to do through us. So when it all changes, why would we want to do this? Because it's God's kingdom and we are his children, we belong to him. Who must do this? It's the ecclesia, it's us, the church, all of us. We're all part of this. As believers, we are called by God to bring the kingdom of God as it is in heaven to this earth. Now, how do we do this? And the answer of how is when we discover God. The answer is in each of us, in our relationship with God. Do we know it now? No, we don't. But as we start seeking him, God starts speaking through us. He comes to us in various ways, and it gets translated in how we are, and people that God brings over our path, people that's lives that gets changed, God starts moving through us. So the how, it's in Christ. It's who we are in Christ. It's that place where we come to understand that God is enough for me. It's only Jesus. It's all that remains, all that I want. It's not anything else. That we don't need affirmation or acceptance by the things that we do. It's just Jesus. I don't care if I'm just the last person, if I'm that Moses, and someone, when I was asked to go on the sabbatical, gave me this word, and I was by a quad. This person, I love this person so much, said to me, I'm like Moses, and I'm not going to get into the promised land. I'm giving it to Joshua, and Joshua is going to take the promised land. Basically, it stops for you, yeah. And I was, you know, and today, I'm like saying, praise God. If that was what God had called me to do, to give it over, and I never have to preach one sermon in my life again, I'm glad. If I have to go and sweep the floors until I die, if God takes me now, if that was what I was meant to do, I'm happy with that. No one has to know what, because God had called me then for that. And then I'm happy with that. It's not, I don't want any glory. I don't want any acceptance. That even when I speak, when I preach less, I'm grateful because I can spend more time with God. And this is where I really believe God is wanting to take all of us to a point where we don't want to take the acceptance or the glory or my ministry international. We don't care about that. It's just, I'm Theo and this Eugene and we love Jesus. Can I pray for you? That we just come to that point in our lives and see what God wants to do through us. You know, so what he said is that God, when he took the Egyptians out of Egypt to the promised land, the easy step was to get them out of Egypt. The difficult step was to get Egypt out of them. Stubbornness, striving, fighting, my will, my rights. What about me? When are we going to get manna? When are we going to get food? Where's the water? Complaining, moaning, to a point where he had to let them die in the desert so that he could raise up the Caleb and the Joshua generation to inherit the promised land, a people who were not about themselves, but who was about what God was and what God's purposes was. Where Abram, God said to him, I'm giving you the nations as your inheritance, but all that he saw was Isaac. He didn't see all of that, but by faith he knew God was going to do it. That we come to a point where we understand that it's not about what God wants to do in my life, but it's maybe just what he wants to do in Daniel and Christian's life. And if I've got to stand back because God is going to do and release that, what I've prayed in their lives and use them, or even in their children's lives, then that's what God has got. Because God is not a God of just today. He's a God of generations. And that God had called us to surrender completely to his promises. So we go through tough times because God wants to take Egypt out of us. When we go and struggle and we don't understand, it's because we're many times stubborn. I'm talking about me. I'm stubborn and I want this and I think this should be done, to a point where God is just saying, just be quiet. Be still and know that I'm God. Shh. You don't have to speak. If you're right or wrong, it doesn't matter. It matters that I am God. That we come to that point where it's not about who we are anymore. You know, and I'm just so convicted that in our homes, and I'm speaking from my own experience, when the house is not in order, our children taking strain, they become disobedient because parents are disobedient. When there's order in the house and the father takes up his role and the mother submit to the father, the children will become more peaceful in the house. If there's fighting inside the home because mother wants to do her thing and she's and then there will be this unity in the house. And so for me, I'm just understanding that God is wanting us to get the order in our homes right. That God is number one. He's the most important thing in what we do. Then it's husband and wife. Husband and wife. Then it's the children. Then it's our career and our ministry. Our ministry cannot be number one. Our children cannot be number one. It must be God. And then it's father. So whenever that order is not there, you'll start seeing things not going well in your home. And this is for us why we do marriage prep, and because we want to see whole families. Happy wife, happy life. It's true. For us as men, we think that we are the head of the home, so we can sit and watch games and play games, and our wife must do everything. But you know what God said to me in regard to that? We must love our wives as we love ourselves. Men cannot love anything else but themselves. It's the truth. We don't love nothing but ourselves. If we can sit with our fistuk or something in our hand or a beer, we are happy. The only reason, there's only one reason why we get married, and all the men know what it is. So God's saying we must love our wives as we love ourselves. How do we love our wives? It's a giving. It's a giving love. It's like if my wife says, take out the dishes, or won't you help me with the dishes? It's a need. I fulfill a need. So I'll do the dishes. I'll hang the washing. I'll take out the garbage. I work in the house because it will help my wife. It supports her because she's got needs that she needs to fulfill. It's much harder to love like that than to submit. I believe it's much more difficult. But we don't get it right. So it's difficult for our wives to submit because they can't trust the men. Men want trust. Oh, we want respect. We just want to hear our wife saying, you are wonderful. Yes, by a stack. Then that's all we want to hear. For a woman, it's easy to say, I love you. But she can't How can I respect you? Do look at what you are doing. So it's impossible for a woman to respect a man because the way we are. So we need God in that. We need God to help the wives to respect us. And we need the God to help us to love our wives unconditionally, where it's a serving, it's a giving of ourselves. And in that place, when we start understanding it's us, there's a example that we give of peace in our, for, to our children, and they can walk into the calling. So it's the order that God is calling us, that we must get that right, because our own stubbornness is causing us to take strain. We fight with one another because we are stubborn and rebellious, and that comes from rejection. We feel rejected, so I want to do my own thing. So now my message starts this morning. When we go through this desert and we feel lost and alone and we want to give in, you just don't want to do it anymore. You just, Lord, I just want to die. If I can die now, I will be at peace. Then God in Romans 15 says, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Jesus Christ, that together you may with one voice glorify God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. En mag God van die bron van alle standvastigheid en bemoediging gee dat julle eengesind onder mekaar sal wees, soos Christus Jesus dit wil hê, dan sal julle allemaal eengesind uit een mond lof toebring aan God, die Vader van ons Here Jesus. So that endurance is stamina, strength, durability, patience, encouragement, where God says, he's give us inspiration, he cheers us on, says, yes, well done, goed gedoen. Isaiah 40 says, have you not known, have you not heard, the Lord, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, he does not faint or grow weary, his understanding is unsearchable, he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. It's that place where God comes to us and he says, I'm proud of you. I love you. You belong to me. I will be with you wherever you go. And in that place where you just, and he gives you strength again, you go, oh God, you are good. You are so amazing. And we have encouragement and we have strength to go through our Egypt because God is good. And this is his heart for all of us. His heart is to bless us, to prosper us. He wants good. He doesn't want us to be in Egypt. He wants us to inherit the promised land. That this is the promises that God wants for all of us, to walk into the fullness. He wants our homes to be a home where there's love, where our children walk in the fullness of God, where our marriages do well and our wives say to us, jy is so sterk, jy is so goed. And we can tell our wives we love them because we do, because jy is so mooi, jy is die mooiste vrou. In the beginning they say, wat wil jy hê? And then after 3 years they start changing. So don't get discouraged when you tell your wife, jy is so mooi. She will ask you because just the track record that you have, you've got to make a new track record in that. But there's a place where we just come and we're in faith even, just say to her the things that God wants us, that we can believe that God can change that what he's done. And God gives us the strength to do all of that. Verse 13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in love. Mag God, die bron van hoop, julle deur geloof met alle vreugde en vrede vervul, so dat julle hoop al hoe sterker kan word deur die krag van die Heilige Gees. God is good. He makes all things work out for the best because we believe in him, because we are called according to his name. He's got a future for all of us. He's got a hope for us. There's a future. He says, trust in me, walk by faith. I want to do great and wonderful things through you. Just trust in me. I give you hope. You know, and for us as believers, the world is not that bad. So, he says, I want joy, vreugde, blydskap. The joy of the Lord is our strength. knowing that God is a good God. What more do we want? Our identity is that we are children of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Here. Ons kan lag, ons kan bly wees. Because if I die, I go to heaven. What more do I want? Amen. Enige amens. Hebrews 6 verse 11 says, and we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness to have the full assurance of hope. God wants us to have the full assurance of hope until the end. But that we will not be sluggish or lethargic or lazy. We won't be lazy, but we'll be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. God wants us to be full of hope because He wants us to inherit the promises that He has given to us. And the Bible is full of these promises that He wants to give us. Verse 19 says of Hebrews 6, we have this sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. Makes us solid that we can know this anchor, He says to us. A hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone before us. So we have this anchor of hope that we can come into the presence of God at any time that we want to, into the presence that He has called us to. Sean shared with us on Friday, in Melbourne, there was this abortion clinic, and like most Christians do, we when we don't agree with abortion or homosexualism and all these things, we get a borkie and we go and stand with those borkie also. And so the Australian government changed the law so that they can put those people in jail. So now we pray even more for the persecution that is coming against the church, and they are very upset. But Sean himself adopted two children. And he said God prepared him because the adoption laws in Australia are very, very strict. You can't just adopt a child. It's just so much easier to abort than to adopt. So most people, the only answer really is abortion. They don't even contemplate adoption. They prayed, God, let a little girl that was going to give an abortion to the Lord. And she was so stirred by the love that she received from Christians that also took her into a home that she started an NGO. And two blocks or two houses away from this abortion clinic, she started this place. And God just supernaturally brought people around her. And many girls who was about to get abortions started going to this place, got led to the Lord, became part of families, etc. That abortion clinic had to go to the state because they couldn't, for funding, because they couldn't pay their salaries anymore. Now that's the kingdom of God. It's not standing there complaining. It's being the answer of Jesus Christ. You know, and this is one person just coming to Jesus. This is when we show the love of Christ that people's life change. We don't have to go and give people a hard time because of their beliefs. We can trust and love them. When they trust us, we can share. We can share, but we don't go and hit them with a Bible on the head. Laat het vir jou les wees nie. The spirit, the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. You know, just the love of Jesus. So, in that, may the God of peace be with you all. Amen. May the God of peace, in that place where we know God is good, that He's with us. God wat vrede gee, sal by julle almal wees. Amen. There's no anxiety in Christ. There's no worry. There's no fear. There's an absolute knowing that God is good. God is in control. You know, especially when you go through those tough times, like, God, You are good, and You are in control. I surrender to You. You do that for 5 years, and then it starts changing. Now I'm just teasing. It changes because we declare the goodness of God. Philippians 4 verse 6 and 7 says, be not anxious for anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, make our requests be known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's just that place where we pray and we know that He takes away all that fear. When you go through fear, go and pray. Spend time with God. Lie on your face. Say, God, I'm taking strain here. In that is where God comes mightily through for us. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 22 says, abstain from every form of evil. Sin destroys us. Just be frank, it destroys us. And then it says, Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Sanctify is purify, approve, bless, consecrate, dedicate, make holy. Make he sanctify us completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless. It's innocent, righteous, guiltless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it. God wants us to be completely whole. There's a transformation that he wants to do in our lives. When we are emotionally broken, we cannot walk in the promises of God. So he wants to make us whole, spirit, soul, and spirit. When you've gone through tough things and bad things has happened to you, God wants to take all those things and he wants to make you new, because God wants to bring renewal, transformation. We don't need a revival. We need transformation. We meet people to come to Jesus and to walk in the fullness of what God, to accept that what he's done on the cross, to say, I accept it, and to walk into that. And we need to help one another to come into that place, because, you know, God is a God for family. Church is family. God is saying he needs fathers and mothers, spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers, to disciple sons and daughters. Only sons and daughters can inherit. We cannot raise our children to be orphans, because orphans will not inherit the kingdom of God. Only sons and daughters. We can only raise up sons and daughters if we are whole. If we have a broken spirit, if we have slavery in our hearts, we will raise up orphan children that will not inherit the kingdom of God. So God is wanting us to become sons and daughters. He wants us to understand that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We belong. We are part. And it's faith. It's faith. Especially when we are nasty to one another. I mean, the most that you get hurt is in church. But by faith, we've got to trust God that this is my brother. This is my sister. I cannot run away from them. We are family. This is God's answer that he wants us to bring to that whole place of being whole, that we can walk into the fullness of God. So I want to finish with that. If Joe Niemand and his band can just come up, please. As far as Joe. You know, life isn't tough. It shouldn't be tough. The next verse, Matthew. Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. The burden of the Lord is upon me. That's nowhere in Scripture. His burden, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. I've got this burden to pray for this world. I'm not going to make it. It's not what Scripture is saying. He says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. There's rest. God gives us rest. And from that rest is the place of victory. Because our God is the Almighty God. He's the one that created it all. He spoke and it came to be. What did Satan do? He didn't do anything of that. He was part of the speaking. He's just a guy with a big mouth. And he's causing us to hear his voice. God is just waiting for us to come to him, because he's the creator. He's the mighty God. And when we come into that place of rest, because we need rest, because we're trying to do these things in our own strength, all of us, me including, we're trying to do it. And we want to build a church and we want to do stuff for the Lord. We say we don't, but we do. And we get tired and we get worn out and we're trying to run after people and wanting to, but Jesus, come to me. I will give you rest. I will give you. Learn from me. I'm gentle. Jesus is gentle. He's grace. He's love. When we come to him with all our sin, he takes that all and he gives you a hug. And he says, but my sin, he says, I love you. You are mine. You belong to me. And in that place, you just lose it. You just don't. You cry. Your life changes because you know I belong. I belong to Jesus. I'm his. On that cross, he said, you are now mine. I've given you a spirit of adoption by whom you can call me Abba Father. You can call me Father. You are no longer a slave. You are my child. You belong to me. The devil wants to accuse us. He wants to say to us all these things. He came to Jesus and he said to him, if you are the Son of God, Jesus says, it's written. He says, if you are the Son of God, Jesus says, it is written. He said to him again, if you are the Son of God. So what did he try to do? That's our identity in Christ. I'm a child of God. He wants to accuse us that we don't feel we belong, so that we won't come to Jesus, because our rest is in him. In that place, in that rest, knowing that God is, we can hear his voice, and he will say to us, lead her to Jesus. And then we just be obeying what he's saying in that. If you're not ready to hear, just continue staying in the rest of Jesus. Allow God to wash you by the word, by prayer, because God wants to change us that we can have relationship with him, because he wants us to be his children, because we are. He wants us to know it, and he wants to care for us. So I just want to ask you to stand, and I just want to pray for us, and thank you for your patience this morning. But God, we want to thank you that you are such an amazing God, Lord, that you are so massive, Lord, that you spoke and everything came to be, that you measure the universe with the span of your hand, Lord, that you uphold all the waters in your hand, Lord, that you said as the waters covers the sea, so we will know the knowledge of God. So that everything will know. Lord, that we will know, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. And Father, I want to pray this morning for us, Lord, who are taking strain, who are in the desert, Lord, who is suffering, and we are having to carry these burdens and these chains and ball and chains, and we carry it with us, Lord, all the guilt, all the shame, all the condemnation that Satan has placed upon us, all the believing that I'm not good enough, that I will not make it, that I will not achieve in anything, that God is not pleased with me, all that stuff that's saying that I'm not worthy to come before God. Father, we just want to pray that in today, Lord, you will break, Lord, those chains, Lord. You will break it in the name of Jesus, Lord. You will take away the guilt, the shame, the condemnation, Lord, the striving, the working, the wanting to do things for Jesus, to a place of knowing that I'm loved by Jesus, that I know Jesus, and that's enough for me, that Jesus is enough for me in the name of Jesus, that we won't try and do things, Lord, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Father, we pray your blessing, your love, your goodness. We ask you, Lord, that you will, if there's anyone here that you are feeling and you are bold enough to say, it's enough, I've had enough, and you want to just come forth for prayer, that you feel you're carrying burdens and yokes that's not from you, and you just want it to be taken off. You want to be encouraged by God. You want to be strengthened by God. You want to receive the hope of God, the peace of God. Maybe it's just in your own life or in your family, or you've been going through tough things and you just want to respond to Jesus. I want to give you the opportunity that we just want to pray and just trust with you for that deposit of God's love and grace in your life. Just to get that hope again and just to get that word from God that you can hold on to as a promise of God. As we just sing a word, a song to the Lord, I want to encourage, if there's one person that feel today, I want to surrender to Jesus. I want to come to Jesus today. I want to pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Ja, Here, dank net vir die goedheid en die guns, die liefde. Ons kom bid net die seën oor elkeen wat hier was vir oggend. Specifiek oor die Kose familie en oor die Hannekom familie. Here, ons bid net die liefde, die guns oor hulle en waar hulle saam met nou gaan wees, dat die blessing op het sal wees, Here. Dankie vir die liefde en ons kom bid dat die koninkryk kom in ons lewens, Here. Amen. Mag Here julle seën en mag julle 'n great dag hê. May the Lord be with you and the goodness of God be on you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.